But in the spirit of Pat McAfee and us kicking kickers out of and kicking out kickers out of the league, I'm here to represent for kickers, and also in the spirit of him, took a lot of vitamins beforehand. So that'll probably kick in.
You do have the McAfee look right now.
Yeah, 45 minutes in or so, that might be a segment by itself of why can't Duncan answer questions.
Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time. Every spin, I scream louder.
Brian, I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
Yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week, so.
Oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So, this is the best time of the year for us.
Psych!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Semi-Pro Guys Podcast. I am your host and Commissioner Rick, here for week 7 of the fantasy football season. I guess, depending on how you do math, this is either the start of the second half or the end of the first half, and I don't really care to know which is which because I'm not a math nerd guy. Joining me on the pod this week for a deep dive into an emotional therapy session that we're going to have, host of the Made for Music podcast, the league's leader in plays on Spotify, GM of Alvin and the Chipmunks, Duncan. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Also,
one podcaster to another.
Yeah. Also on the pod with us, back for his second go around, he's one of the league's many degenerates here, but no one else has gone to the extent that they've actually turned their bed into a craps table like a child who sleeps on a race car bed. It's Barkevious Flamingo. Tim, welcome back to the pod.
Thanks, Rick. Glad to be here.
Wait, is that a true story?
No.
Oh. I was like, bro.
I mean, I could. Craps tables are pretty big. It's like you could make it. It would be like a long twin bed, but you could sleep in a craps table.
You put a big cushion on there. That's a long bed. You could be like a 7-footer, and that would be a nice bed.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, sir, we need you to leave. Like, fine, I'll take this party back to my place. Everybody with me. No taxes.
Got a craps table bed. Here we go.
Yeah, it makes it so I can gamble and sleep at the same time. So it's perfect.
People could gamble around you while you sleep. Think about that. Oh, yeah.
They could bet on your body parts.
Wow.
I don't exactly know how that would work, but okay.
Me neither.
I said that this was going to be a bit of a therapy session for us, and I said that because we as a trio had a very bad week. Tim, you've lost in back-to-back weeks by a combined 0.86 points, losing last week by just 0.18. Duncan scored 68.9, which I'm going to go back and change to an even 69 because, of course, not only lost, but Luke is also on a 3-game winning streak, and we'll talk about this later as well. But I got my first smelly butt since 2016. So it's been a couple of days since you guys have gone through. All three of us lost. We're all handling heartbreak differently. How are you guys feeling here on a Wednesday?
Well, not great, Rick. Missed by 0.1 and then, of course, got doubled up on by Luke. So that was an absolute nightmare. But feeling good about this week?
There you go.
But, yeah, it was all bad. And then just getting absolutely steamrolled by Luke's dunk. I think I'm like, my record against him is absolutely horrible. Like, I don't remember the last time.
I know a thing or two about a horrible record against Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Or just a horrible record in general.
Yeah, Tim, you've got to be feeling, I mean, just what can you walk us through just your going into Monday and then what happened waking up on, because did Monday Night Football end and you had a lead and then you wake up on Tuesday and it was an L? Because I stopped watching and paying attention on Monday night after Zeke fumbled the second time. So I wasn't really paying close attention to the league.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I was talking to Pip that night, Jared and Fronik. Those were the three people who congratulated me on my win and how big it was for me to get that win. And I was feeling good. And my 2 points magically disappeared. And as far as I know, and if anyone in the league wants to go ahead and look, it currently says there are 0 stat corrections for week 6. So where did the points go? And it just is magically 2 points, the 2 points that I needed to win the game. I'm not mad at Scott. Good for you, Scott. Good win. But yeah, I'm a little pissed off because I feel like they were taken away from me without any sort of explanation. And I still don't know where those points went. So I really don't know what happened or why I got the loss.
See, the most interesting part is it's not showing up on the stat correction page. Because normally, like on a regular week, it's like, oh, we've added like 9 or 10 different defensive player guys, like got a tackle. And you're like, I don't care about these things. Somebody maybe loses like a rushing yard. But 2 whole points from even if it's like, you know, 3 or 4 different people losing a couple yards, like you lost by 0.8. Like you didn't need, like even if they took away 1.5 and you're like, wow, I only won by less than I remember. At least you still won. But they took away enough to take away a decent win, and it's just a tight loss.
I don't have a lot to say about that move.
Yeah, I don't understand. I'm looking for someone to blame.
Who has admin controls? Is it just you, Rick?
Pip does as well. I don't think Pip... I mean, we could open up an investigation. This could be scoring fraud. He could have taken a bribe from Scott to say, hey, I need you to jinx Tim by giving him the congratulations text, which is always the worst text to get before you've won. And then I need you to go in and take away 2 points from my team, or from Tim's team. Just I need the win.
I think so, because he made a lot of promises about what would happen if he didn't make the playoffs.
That's true.
So I'm just saying it's a little bit fishy the week after we have a week or two after we have the pod where he's on. And if a co-commissioner is involved, it's the year of impeachments. So
look, I'm not blaming any of the commissioners. I don't think anybody purposely did anything to my points, but I feel like I deserve a little bit of an explanation. I deserve to know why I lost 2 points for no goddamn reason. So yeah, if you guys want to look into it, if anyone wants to look into it, I would greatly appreciate it. If I could just know where the points went, that's fine. I'll take it. But they're just gone. And like in a poof of smoke, they're gone. So yeah, Sleepy I'm pretty Scott. Upset about it, not gonna lie.
Sleepy Scott.
I'm
he
just
really a computer genius? Hacked it. We gotta know these things.
Because it was a couple of weeks ago, like I thought Zeke scored a touchdown, and it turns out it was Tony Pollard. And for the longest time, ESPN, while the game was still going on, had the points for Zeke as a rushing touchdown. And then I later realized that they took it away from him and they gave it to him. But that happened within the game. This is, I mean, Tim didn't have...
20, I had 119 points for an entire 24 hours.
Right.
All of Monday. And I had one player that played Monday who got me 0. So it's not like his points like changed. It was they obviously changed some kind of points from Sunday's guys, and it's like I don't understand why for 24 hours they wouldn't have that figured out, and no listed stat correction. The whole thing just makes no sense to me. I'm trying to get over it because what else can I do? You know, you got to move forward and be like whatever. But it feels really weird. Like I don't feel like I lost, but it is what it is.
That is a bummer because you did, but.
I had a win, turned it. Okay. Well, I will formally look into an investigation into this to figure out what went wrong, what happened, time travel of some sorts. I will go back and I will figure out what happened. Cause this is,
I got investigated last year. So all I'm saying is while Pip is our proxy Austin cop, also a little shady because if he's the only one with admin control, should he really be the one looking into this stuff? And can we trust you? You're in cahoots.
That's true. We need an independent investigator. And I think you've just nominated yourself.
I don't think so. I'm under the influence. But Mike, on the other hand, has a degree. And I think we might have to pull him in.
None of us have degrees.
Mike has a second degree.
Ours don't count.
Right. It's like a GED. Everybody gets a bachelor's.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on now from the negative juju of week 6, positive vibes going into week 7 with our matchups, starting with Bug Flutie, Andrew, who is 1-5 versus George Kitten. That's Luke, who's 3-3. Andrew is 1-6 all time against Luke. As I mentioned, Luke has totally flipped the script, gone from being 0-3 to 3-3. He's 50 some odd points away from a playoff spot. DeAndre Swift and Ron Jones both exploded, leading to the high score of the week and the fortuitous bounce of not playing Duncan without Kamara and DK Metcalf. Andrew started off his day with a 3-interception game from Kirk Cousins that seemed to have tanked his morning. He's lost Zach Ertz to injury. He got a 0 from Mike Gesicki and probably now has to clean Jordan's toilet after Jordan has a big bowl of chili. Andrew was also missing Mr. Unlimited, returns from bye. Luke is basically rolling with a full squad. Duncan, I claim that you were a fantasy genius after week one. So tell us, what has Luke done that started this spark and his three-game winning streak?
Oof. I don't know. I think he's done the DeAndre Swift pickup. Did he draft him or did he get him off waivers?
He drafted him, oof, I believe. Yeah.
That was a great sleeper pick. I mean, I didn't see that coming. And the fact that he, like, Ronald Jones, DeAndre Swift, I don't know, at the start of the year when he drafted the two of those guys, I didn't think really anything of it. And then I think also the way that Keenan's being used now, I mean, he's not doing great now I think about it, but yeah, I don't know. It's just really impressive. He hasn't made any trades though, correct? So I'm like, has everything been waiver wire?
Everything's been waiver wire. And I think the biggest thing is, like, Ronald Jones has turned into a number one in Tampa. Like, Fournette was hurt for a couple weeks, and then 1 week he just didn't play. And it's very quickly just turned into the Ron Jones show. And it's been the one thing that's kind of like keeping him afloat while Nick Chubb's been on IR. So I thought once Chubb went on IR, he was done.
I thought so too. And I'm looking at this now, and he has the ultimate disrespectful move that I actually love right now. Is I'm looking at his lineup and the way that it's like juxtaposed on the scoreboard. He has Ronald Jones, like you said, he's a number one in flex. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at it, it's just, you know, Tom Brady, Andrew's got the advantage at running back 1-2, wide receiver 1, and there's just a stream of green check marks down the list. I don't know if he did that on purpose, but it's hilarious to look at because Ronald Jones winning in the flex is just disrespectful, and I'm here for it. But yeah, his team, like, I mean, he went off. And he, look, I mean, for the foreseeable future. And then, yeah.
Tim, what do you think about the Luke comeback that's kind of sparked here?
I'm not surprised. I don't think any of us should be surprised. I mean, we always knew he still had guys that were good. Guys like Keenan Allen, Cooper, and DJ Moore, I feel like from week one, we knew they were all probably the number one on their team and good number ones. Moore had, you know, he's had a couple real breakout games the last couple weeks. Keenan Allen with Justin Herbert back in is so much better. He did get hurt, but I think he's probably going to be back this week. Cooper's been kind of weird this year. I mean, he got like some points and a touchdown in total garbage time in that Monday night game. So that was a little weird to see him not get anything for like the first three quarters. I think Dalton's still settling in. But yeah, he's just got guys that are breaking out. Swift had his major breakout game. Jones has been a lot better than all of us thought. You got Chase Edmonds. I'm not sure if that was a draft pick or if that was a waiver wire pick, but I know that he's helped out in that flex spot or that RB2 spot when he's needed it. And then a couple quarterback changes in the first few weeks, he would have had wins. I mean, he was mostly just plaxicoing himself with the whole Tom Brady situation with some of those losses he took. So, and he's got Chubb on the IR. So I think, Luke is, I don't know how everyone else felt, but I definitely didn't feel like 0-3 he was done, and he's certainly not done now. And I feel like he's one win away from jumping to maybe fifth spot right now. So things are looking just fine for Luke.
On the other hand, Andrew is 1-5. He only has one in six if his lineup stays the way it is, which is him leaving the exact same lineup he had last week. He didn't make any waiver wire moves. He doesn't have any healthy tight ends or playable tight ends for this week. So you basically have to play hot potato with his lineup to even get it somewhat competent. And even then, he's going to have some holes in it. I'm not sure if maybe he's been in surgery for the last 72 hours or what's been going on, but it seems like something's happened with Andrew. Is it a mental thing where he's kind of given up? He's in the full tank, just win the toilet bowl? Or is this maybe it's just a couple, a scheduled loss week for him?
I mean, this is tough with the buys that he's got. But at the same time, even if he did have Kirk Cousins this week in Thielen, I don't have a ton of confidence. And then especially with the switch up in Miami, have no idea what Tua and Gesicki's chemistry is going to be. So even if he did have the same lineup going into this week, I wouldn't feel great. That said, I think Russ and Kyler are going to battle it out this weekend. So that I actually think would be a better play anyways. I don't know what his plan would have been. I think he just has it there because of the bye week. But yeah, but even bringing in Russ, I don't think – I mean, the waiver wire stinks. I tried playing the waiver for a tight end last week, and it's not pretty.
Tight end is looking like it's looking more and more each week that Pip's claim of just like eliminating the tight end position is coming through, because there are really like three top tier tight ends and about three other like really good startable guys, and everybody else is complete boomer bust. Yep. So maybe you should just get rid of the tight end. Just play a zero. Just roll with it, Andrew.
Bring back kickers. Cut the tight ends.
Yeah,
Andrew, are kickers more consistent than tight ends?
Ooh. Yes.
Maybe. It might be. Who do you guys have in this matchup here?
Luke.
Okay. I assume Andrew will put Russell Wilson in for Cousins. He'll probably put Mike Williams in for Thielen, and he's got Gesicki on a bye and Ertz out, so he's going to have to add a tight end. And I'm assuming maybe he puts Fournette in that second flex. That gives Fournette and Gore as his flexes, which is not great. No Thielen this week. I already feel like Mixon and Freeman are just okay as starting running backs. It's not looking good for Andrew, and I am definitely picking Luke this week as well.
Yeah, clean sweep here. I think Luke, even if Andrew was able to play with the tight end, you know, flex or waiver wire game, there's still not a lot of them great options out there. So I got Andrew or Luke in this one as well. Next matchup, Jordan. Johnny Yu is 3-3 versus Ndamukong Suh. That's Mike, who's 2-4. Jordan is 1-3 against Mike all time. As we talked about, Jordan dismantled Andrew last week with all of his struggles. Also had a big outbreak from Deshaun Watson and Kenyon Duck on Monday night. JoJo managed to put up 120 points with a 0 from Cam Akers, 1.6 from Juju, and 1.2 from Gabriel Davis, but he might have saved his season with the Clay Chase pool ad. Mike continues his struggles as well with Eric, I'm not a Colt Ebron. Flex Burkhead struggled. Stinking Bill Beasley was his leading scorer with, I think it was 12 or 13. But things might be on the up and up for Mike, as he now will be able to play Handsome Squidward for the first time since week one. Jordan begins his first week of the season with a competent RB2 with Mike, I want winner Singletary that he got in a trade for me on Tuesday. So Tim, we'll start with you on this matchup. How important is it for Mike to get Mike back in his starting lineup?
Incredibly important. don't know if he's going to just immediately be a top five receiver once he gets back, though. You've made this point a lot this season. Maybe part of it is you joking, but I think part of it is not. And that's the fact that Drew Brees can't throw very deep right now, and he's just kind of dinking and dunking to Kamara. So I don't necessarily feel like they should fix something that isn't broken at the moment. That's not to say Thomas isn't going to get plenty of targets and plenty of looks. I wouldn't say him back in the lineup necessarily makes Mike like a championship contender. But in terms of this week, yeah, I think it's huge getting him back, assuming he does what we know Mike Thomas can do. So he's got two mics in his lineup now. That's pretty cool.
Mike and Mike Law.
Yeah. I mean, once Mike gets McCaffrey back, I like Thomas and Galladay. Beasley's been actually pretty good for Buffalo. It's just those flexes that Mike's going to struggle with all season. I feel like those are going to keep him down. I mean, right now he's got Rashad Perriman, who I don't trust even slightly. I don't trust anyone on the Jets, as I don't think anyone does, and I don't think even Mike does. And then he's got Humphreys in there with, I think, possibly Corey Davis coming back. So Humphreys is going to drop to like the wide receiver three there. Ugh, it's kind of a desperation move. Don't hate Mike's team this week, but it certainly has its holes. So
Duncan, what do you think of Mike's team and getting Handsome Squidward back in his wide receiver one spot after, I think it's like a 6-week absence now through injury and suspension?
After week one, I think.
Yeah.
Selfishly, this week stinks for me if these guys actually show up, because Kamara's just been eating all those dump-off passes, and so I am worried that Breeze is going to try to get it to him downfield a bit and going to throw picks because he's going to throw it about 20 yards short.
Right.
But I'm hoping that maybe he stretches the field, the coverage is decent because Carolina's looked okay. And then he just does dunk it off to Kamara and there's nobody there and he just gets a take off for like 30 yards a pop every time. Humphreys has been surprisingly good, and I think it has been because Corey Davis is out and then Jonnu Smith going down last week. I'm like, I think it depends on those two. If one of the two comes back, still kind of risky, but really surprising how they've used him a lot after, I think, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or really the last 3 years, he has done nothing. So interesting how he's being used there. But yeah, I mean, I echo everything that's being said here. I think, you know, he's looking pretty solid for this week. It's really going to hinge on, I think, Beasley and Thomas. And then again, like I said, selfishly hope Thomas is not.
Yeah. The thing with Thomas that the Falcons Twitter likes to make fun of him about is that he just runs slants. So it's basically, you know, just running routes over the middle where Drew Brees can just get you the ball where it's still close enough for him to be able to throw the ball down to him. So it's still essentially a dump off, but the potential with Thomas's speed being already downfield, if he's got a step on a guy and you catch the slant, you can definitely, like, he can go all the way. But Thomas isn't beating people by running great routes or burning you with his speed and, you know, a threat with the deep ball other than maybe once or twice just to keep like the secondary honest.
Yeah. So I should have clarified. I was saying deep ball in Saints terms, which I was thinking of 5 to 10 yards.
Sure. Sure. A long third and six. He's really got to stretch the field there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Get it to Kamara 5 feet away. He can't get it to Thomas 7 yards away.
Using all of his effort and then just chucking it downfield. I did a visual joke of Drew Brees licking his fingers constantly. To get to Jordan's team, I want to start with a quick segment of For Real or Pharrell. Chase Claypool, 5 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, 2 rushing touchdowns as well. This has all pushed him up to the 12th best fantasy wide receiver. He's putting up huge numbers. He did it on low targets last week. He got a touchdown, I think, on only 4 targets. The week before, he had 11, scored 3 touchdowns. Is he for real or Pharrell?
He's for real, dude. I think his coaches called it out in like COVID camp, and they were like, this guy, you got to watch out for him. And just the way they've drafted wide receivers in the past, they don't miss. So I think he's for real. All the players around him, and players in the locker room too, not just the coaches, were like, this, you got to watch out for him. And I'm blanking the corner, but it was over the summer as well. One of the Pittsburgh corners called out. They were like, this, he's making us look silly in practice. So I mean, if your own team's coming out there, and you wouldn't really I don't think any of those players, especially the way the Steelers run their organization, just hard-nosed football, I don't think they're calling out, singing a rookie's praises like that. So the fact that he's kind of erupted the past 2 weeks, and really had a great week too. It was a quiet week 1 and 3, but other than that, he's been extremely productive. So
Tim, what do you think?
I'll say for real, but a slightly more soft for real, just because I would like to see how his point production is when Deontay Johnson is fully healthy, because the last 2 weeks were his boom weeks, and that was without Deontay Johnson. That being said, I think Claypool is incredibly talented. I agree with everything you said, Duncan. He's clearly got a bright, bright future as a receiver in the NFL. I think he's 100% going to be startable going forward, regardless of Deontay. I guess I'm more just saying, you know, once you got Juju and Deontay and Claypool, maybe there's a few less targets for Claypool. But yeah, he's for real. That's a huge pickup for Jordan. I think Brandon had him at one point in the season and dropped him.
Oh no.
Cause I think he sent him to me in a trade request. I don't remember what the trade request was. This was like maybe week 2, but yeah, that's a rough drop for Brandon, who's struggling for receivers.
Yeah,
and Jordan, is that not accepting that trade request going to be what sank your year this year?
No, there's plenty of other things that sank my team, Duncan. I promise you that much.
Yeah, Jordan drafted him, dropped him, was picked up by Brandon, was then dropped by Brandon, and then the next day, Jordan added him back for $0. So he got him the day after waivers went through, after Brandon picked him up. Brandon then, you know, does another move, whatever, da-da-da, and there they go. The cycle goes on and on. Jordan's been able to somewhat survive this year, avoiding Rams running back hell in his RB2 spot, which has really kind of held him down. He gets Devin Singletary, who I think Jordan had him last year before he traded him to me, and then I was able to struggle through having a Bills running back as well. How much help do you think Singletary gives Jordan's team just with basic, simple running back production out of his RB2 spot?
Definitely some help, but I don't know if that was the guy to go for.
Yeah.
That's one of those offenses where the quarterback's taking a lot of those rushing touchdowns, and Singletary, like, he's getting the carries, but he has one touchdown on the season. So the last 2 weeks, he's not scored more than 5 points. That's a tough one. I'd say it's better than Cam Akers right now, which is the only other person he could really start right now. But I guess maybe I feel like a straight juju for a running back. Maybe Jordan could have got more out of it than a Singletary, but I don't know how those conversations went with Jordan. I don't know who he was talking to. Maybe nobody was willing to take him. So, yeah.
They went pretty fast. I know this isn't the official don't trade me, bro, but maybe I can throw that in.
Don't trade
me, bro.
Trade.
Basically, Jordan was like, hey, would you be what would it take to move Singletary? And I was like, what do you want to offer? And he's like, how do you feel about Juju? And I wasn't super excited because I know Singletary compared to McKissick and Lindsay was going to get way more carries. But I didn't like watching Singletary, you know, run the ball, not really using the passing game. And then when the Bills get to the goal line, it's the Josh Allen running back show. And it's just, it's not fun to be a part of. And I figured Juju had a bad week, but he's bound to have some bounce backs weeks in there. Like, Claypool's not going to get 4 touchdowns a week for the rest of the season, I think. I don't know. So I figured that would be a good boost to my flex position. The Steelers have had their buys. I'm going to get hit pretty hard with buys in the next couple weeks anyways. So felt like it was pretty, you know, I think we called it a swampy, stinky swap or something like that. So it's just like a couple of guys that we were not happy with having on our teams anymore that we wanted to get rid of. So it happened pretty quick. I don't know if he from somebody else could have gotten a better RB2 or something, but it happens.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I think week one, he didn't play great against the Jets. He only had 9 carries, but they're going to get some this week. And after the past 2 weeks and kind of the struggles of the Bills, I'm thinking they might go back to just like pounding the rock like a little bit more like they did at the beginning of the season. Because, I mean, when he's over, you know, 12 carries, essentially, that's when he's popped off. He's gone from 14 and 16. So I think if they get back to that, maybe a little bit. I haven't watched enough Bills games to know kind of what their identity is. Obviously, other Josh Allen just like taking over at the goal line and whatnot. But my thoughts are that, especially as we get into like, and this is going to sound kind of silly, but as we get in like the winter months here, like, I think it is, especially up north, it's going to make a lot more sense to be just pounding the rock down there. Also, to go back to Claypool, he's from Canada, and so he's in the AFC North. He's going to do just fine up there. He's been training for this, so
there it is.
But yeah, the Singletary play, I mean, yeah, I think it's just going to depend on like what their identity is. He's not going to get the goal line carries, but coming up against the Jets at least this week, I think it's good for like the really short term. But then the next couple weeks, not really. New England, Seattle, Arizona. I think everyone's just going to go air raid on Seattle in 2 weeks because we're a wet paper bag of a defense. Arizona, same kind of thing. They've just been airing it out. So, and then as far as jumping all around here, but then next week for New England, Belichick's just going to take away stuff on Diggs. So maybe he'll have more production, but I don't see him having like a massive game against the Patriots.
Hey, And I think the big thing is just like when you're trying to decide which, if it's Akers or I forgot the other Rams running back that Jordan did have. If you're trying to decide between the two of which one's going to end up with 3 points and which one's going to end up with zero, and you start the wrong guy, when you can play somebody like Singletary, who you know is going to get maybe six, like, you know, 12 if he's lucky to get a touchdown, if that's how the, you know, maybe he breaks one off or something, like that's got to feel like in the back of your head, like your floor has just gone up from a zero to even just five. Those 5 points when you've been getting nothing is very important. Who do you have as a key and a pick in this matchup here? But should be a tight one.
I think on Andrews, and it's going to depend on, I think Michael Thomas is the key for Jordan. I think it's going to be Gallup. It's going to be Gallup and Claypool. I think if Gallup can get on the same page with Dalton, he's just extremely athletic. Claypool is going to go to Tennessee and I think wreak havoc. So, I got Jordan actually in a close one.
Tim?
Yeah, I'm going to agree on what Duncan said about Gallup being Jordan's key player. I'm going to throw Schultz in there as well. He's starting two Dallas, basically, receivers, and neither of them are the top two receivers, and that offense looked so bad last week. So do they get it going? If they get it going, then there should be plenty. And granted, Dalton did seem to like Schultz in that game. Mm-hmm. Gallup, on the other hand, was definitely an afterthought. So that's going to be big. If Claypool can continue to be Claypool that we've seen the last 2 weeks, great. But I am actually going with Mike. I think his running backs are stronger. I think this week his receivers are stronger. His flexes aren't great, but neither are Jordan's. Jordan's big. I guess advantage is Travis Kelce, but it's hard for one guy to win you a matchup. Also, Jordan, drop Baker Mayfield. That guy sucks. Don't know why he's still on.
He stinks.
That's my 2 cents worth on Jordan's team, but I'm picking Mike.
I just realized that it's Randy Dalton Schultz, and I don't know of many Dalton quarterback last name thrown to a guy who also has their first name. I don't think that's something that can happen a whole lot. Like, Brady hasn't thrown anything to Brady so-and-so.
Brady Quinn.
Matt Ryan's never thrown to a... Brady Quinn, yeah. Tom Brady, Brady Quinn. Matt Ryan's never thrown to... Like, it's hard to get a quarterback who has two first names and then throw to a guy whose first name is the same as their last name.
Well, Matt, did he ever throw a pick to Ryan Clark? Because in that case, he might have thrown to Orion.
Man, this is a research project that I'm going to have to dive into now. Because Tim was just like, Dalton really liked Dalton. I was like, what? You never get to say that about teams and their wide receivers. I actually am going to go with Tim. I'm going with Mike in this one. I think if it's going to be a top-heavy battle, I think I like Toad Mike Davis a little bit more than Drake and Singletary. I also like Thomas more than Scary Terry or Gallup. I think Travis Kelce basically becomes a wide receiver 2 or 3 in this matchup, but I like Mike's depth just a little bit more. So I'm going to go with Mike. Next up, third matchup, Ronnie Ocelot, Pip, who is 4-2, is taking on Young Ho Moo. That is Jared, who's 3-3. Pip is 4-2 against Jared all time. Pip had a monster week from King TD Henry, rushing for 264 yards. That was one more than the entire New York Jets had in total offense last week. The hair beat his career high from week one, but continued to not score. In the end, it was not enough to keep up with Brandon. Jared didn't have a perfect week, but it was good enough nonetheless to beat me by 20. Debo Samuel, I think most aggravating stat was he had an average target depth of -5 yards from the line of scrimmage, and he turned it into 12 points, as well as a double gut punch garbage time touchdown to Travis Fulgham and the Eagles. Both of these teams are at full strength, save a couple of injury designations. It's another week with massive projections for both teams in the 120s. Pip is up, I think, almost 130. Tim, what do you think is a key game that might swing this matchup?
Definitely the Kansas City game. I know Pip is very concerned about Clyde Edwards the hair and what his role will be going forward. I am not as concerned as Pip because Le'Veon Bell, we still don't know how good he still is, if he's going to be able to keep his act together, so to speak, with the coaching staff. Things obviously didn't go well with the Jets. And also he's got Tyreek Hill, who's Tyreek Hill's always been this way. We talked about this on an earlier pod I was on, that he's going to have those weeks where he gets you 5 and he's going to have those weeks where he gets you 30. So I feel like he's going to rely on those two guys just pretty much any week. So what is Clyde's role going forward? And the other thing was I was going to say is I feel like Edwards-Helaire had something to prove last week, and I think he did it in a monster way. And I think that had an effect on – I feel like that has to have an effect on the coaching staff. They're like, hey, we got this superstar, you know, guy coming in. A lot of all talks about Le'Veon Bell, and he's still a rookie. And then he just comes out and just balls out. And so I feel like that's got to be a little bit – that's got to ease the mind a little bit for Pip. But I know he's definitely concerned about that.
Yeah, he balled out. I was thinking the exact same thing. He's like – you signed this guy that's been known to be problematic in locker rooms and just went off. Yeah, I agree with you there. I actually think the key game is going to be the Tennessee-Pittsburgh one, because let's see, can Pittsburgh has a phenomenal run defense. They've just been shutting people down. So it's like, okay, it's going to be one of the best run defenses against arguably the scariest person to tackle out of the backfield. Yeah. So I think that's going to be the key there, because I do think Clyde Edwards-Helaire does lose some touches this week because they're going to try Le'Veon out. I really do think it's going to be – I'm sure they're drawing up some packages to see what kind of stuff they can do to get him involved, just to test out the waters. And if he has a great start to the game, I think that hurts Edwards-Helaire. Yeah. Because Andy Reid can literally drop whatever he wants on the whiteboard right now. He can be like, oh, let's do a 3-back set here, and we're gonna have
McCoy involved too.
Yeah, exactly. He's gonna be like, McCoy's gonna go out into the flat. We're gonna have a Texas route out of the backfield from Le'Veon, and then Edwards-Helaire is just gonna kind of fake run block and then do a wheel on the other side. Mm-hmm. And there's already 3 scary people out of the backfield. Oh yeah, and there's Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill like running in like 80 yards downfield.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to watch that game because I just want to see what the hell Andy Reid comes up with, because he's probably just sitting there like drawing like this and everyone's like, yeah, sick, I'm on it.
rich get richer kind of deal.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous.
One more thing I'll say about Clyde. I know Pip is concerned with Bell taking like maybe goal line carries at this point, but
yeah,
Edwards-Helaire has 1 touchdown on the season. So it's not like all these touchdowns he's getting are going to start not being touchdowns. It's like he's got 1 rushing touchdown in the first week of the season. And I think that might have even been on the first drive of the season.
It better stay that way too. I got Mahomes. Throw the damn rock.
So I don't know. I don't feel like Pip should be super concerned. He still has David Montgomery if he needs to, you know, maybe move Clyde into more of a flex position. Not that it really matters. If he's in your lineup, he's in your lineup. So I think Pip will be just fine.
Man, it just – I'm thinking about, like, peak Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh when they had, a good offensive line and a good offensive scheme with a balanced offense, was one of the best runners in the league. And he's basically becoming now a second running option in one of the best offenses in the league. And it just – it seems insane that you're, like, maybe have, like, too many running backs involved or something like that. Because, like – McCoy hasn't, as a secondary running back, hasn't been used a whole lot, but he's still that kind of like, maybe he's just too old to have the same explosive threat that he's normally had, but he still gets involved in the offense. He gets carries, he gets, you know, catches out of the backfield, and Bell can do both of those things. The hair can do both of those things. And then you've got to worry about Tyreek stretching your secondary, Kelce running button hooks that's falling between the linebackers and the secondary. It's not fair. And I think we need to petition Kansas City. Pip will probably agree just because it keeps the Harris fantasy value up. But the signing should not be allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems unfair to the rest of the league.
should Kansas City run the wing T?
Wow. I think Travis Kelce would love the shit out of that because he seems like a guy who loves to block.
Yeah.
You get the wing T formation, probably Tyreek Hill instead of McCoy as one of your other running backs because he could take a handoff here and there. Oh,
dude, be insane.
I'm now very excited to watch that game for Kansas City to run an offense from the 1950s 2020 style.
They could do a fucking quadruple option to all three guys out of the backfield and then just bomb it to Tyreek. Well, no, you said he'd be the one in the backfield. Bomb it to like Kelsey pops and then just does like a seam or something. Like that.
Salami Watkins, one reception, 85 yards and a touchdown.
Two receptions. No, I think it's two receptions, 160 yards and two touchdowns on two quadruple or triple action passes.
It's a lot of options. Jared, we haven't talked about his team. 3-3. He's not putting up a ton of points. He played the stinky butt team last week, so you're always going to win when you play the stinky butt. Aaron Jones and the Packers struggled. Debo Samuel looks like he's finally healthy and a number one wide receiver option. Tim, what do you think about Jared's team so far and how he's just kind of plodding along so far?
I think Jared's team is exactly what we said it was at the beginning. It's one of those teams that's going to blow up some weeks and it's going to have rough other weeks. And that's been completely true. He had that week against me week two where he scored about 170 something.
Yeah.
But he also might have 3 weeks under 100 as well this year. I'm not sure. I know he's got at least two. Yeah, he was so lucky to play you last week, obviously. He, you know, very easily could be 2-4 right now, so he's got to be, you know, counting his blessings on that one. I think top to bottom, he's still, you know, he's so deep at receiver, kind of like you, Rick. I feel like you guys have the two deepest receiving cores. You know, Slayton is basically the only receiver for the Giants right now. Like you said, Samuel's healthy. Fulgham is breaking out, which I'm sure Fronik predicted. And I just
he absolutely did. He was all in on Jalen Reagor and now Fulgham's gone off. He's like, oh man, I'm telling you, the second guy of the Eagles wide receivers that was going to go off was going to be Fulgham. Yeah, dude, because every single one of them has gotten hurt this year and Rager's one of them. So okay, good job. You had to be right at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Bid me for one on him. Yeah, I put 30 for Fulgham. It's
basically like an Eagles receiver will score points this year. So good,
dude,
you know,
100% accurate on the predictions. Great 100% work.
Accurate. I think wrapping up with Jared's team, though, I think his biggest concern is Mike Evans. He has not been healthy this entire season, and Tom Brady's not the kind of guy to just go to one receiver anyway, and he still has lots of other options there. Weird offense. The Tampa Bay offense is – every time I watch it, I don't know who the guy is. It seems like it's the Ronald Jones show right now. So I think Mike Evans will still get those red zone targets. But certainly concerning for Jared. I think he was definitely expecting more out of Evans when he drafted him. I don't know how much he spent on him, but I'm sure it was up there. So I don't feel like Jared has a bad team at all. I think it's certainly in the running. But in terms of championship contender, I just don't know. I don't know if he has enough guys that are just solid that they're going to produce every single week and that are, you know, his team is just so Jekyll and Hyde that to win three straight games in playoffs could be very difficult to do.
Jared also had Dak, who shattered his ankle, broke, dislocated, whatever. Lost for the year, has turned to Matthew Stafford. He also got Tua, so it will be Tua time in Miami. He had a really great handoff, really great play action look. I think everybody was maybe confused. He was left-handed. I think everybody just kind of forgets that this once-in-a-generational quarterback talent out of college is a lefty because those just don't happen anymore. Do you think that Tua sits on Jared's bench for a little bit and then becomes a starter, or is it next week, no matter what, Tua's coming in? He's going to have a tough matchup. I think it's against the Rams, so it's going to be a tough matchup. It will be at home. Is that a guy you start, or you kind of wait and see on how does this rookie play things out?
I think you got to sit him for now. I mean, especially the Rams.
They just said pussyfooting around on TV.
Yeah, you can say
on
that.
Commercial.
You can say that. Pussyfoot's not a bad word.
It feels
like yeah, the word pussy is a bad
Shut
word.
The fuck up.
Wow. Ouch.
The more you know.
Continue.
Well, so I think Stafford's going up against Atlanta this week. I think that's going to be a shootout, and you want to give Tua at least, like, I don't see him coming in and having the whole playbook available. So I think you got to be super careful, especially because the Rams are going to blitz the hell out of them. That's, they're going to be, if they can come hit the guy coming off a major injury first, like real start or real game in the NFL. Sorry, the Jets are like fifth string guys at best starting right now. So I think you got to sit him because I think Matt Stafford's going to have a week. He's got some of his guys coming back. And then, yeah, to, and just the Discord in the locker room, like, I get that, like, fans are excited about it, but, like, Fitzmagic being blindsided by the whole thing, like, you had guys from the Dolphins, like, talking about how that's their guy, and I think he kind of echoed that, saying, like, I thought this was my team. He knew, obviously, at some point it's going to switch up, but I think the morale in the locker room is going to be really low, which I think does play a huge factor into a game like this. So Rams are going to blitz the shit out of them, not have a full playbook available to him, and morale could be low. So I think you sit him.
Tim, yeah, you are, point. Yeah, Tim, you're our college scouting expert as a fan of all college rookies in fantasy. What does your scouting reports have on, what do you have on Tua?
What I have on Tua is that it's still the Dolphins. They have won a few games, which is good. And that's actually what surprises me the most about them taking Fitz out. It's not like he's been out there just not playing well, and like, it's not like they're the Jets at 0-whatever they are. So it's definitely a weird move, and I think we also have to remember that Tua is coming off of a humongous injury that I just don't see him being let loose like Kyler Murray right away. I think he has that potential, but like, this is his first game playing football in a long time. Obviously he's been practicing, otherwise they wouldn't be playing him, and I think he has tremendous talent, but in terms of fantasy, I think Jared would definitely like to see at least one great game out of him. If it were myself, I would probably only play two if it was a really good matchup and if he's already had at least one good game. So I don't know. That's really tough to say. I don't think any of us have any clue how that's going to go.
Yeah, I just think he's going to be – the play action is going to be key, but he's rolling out to Aaron Donald's side. Like, that stinks. Like, how, I mean, I know Aaron Donald got shut down last week, but it's a rookie.
Yeah, that's the Niners, they're gonna be though, so they're fired up. Yeah, I think it's a weird first game to start him too. Kind of like you're saying, it's not like the Rams are just some slouch on the defensive line. You know, Aaron Donald is probably like, oh hell yeah, I can't wait to play this guy in his first game. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And who's to say Tua even, you know, starts every game this year? You know, if he has a couple of rough games, then maybe they put Fitzpatrick back in there. So that whole situation is very strange, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense at this. The timing of it doesn't make sense to me personally. So I don't know.
Especially with Stafford going up against Atlanta, their defense stinks. Sorry, Rick.
No, they're bad. Yeah, I agree.
I know you know, but I just saying it to your face felt half bad.
We all know that for sure.
Yeah, that stink.
Who do you guys have in a pick in this matchup here as we turn back to Pip versus Jerd?
I'm going to be rolling with Pip on this one. I mean, the starting lineup he has in right now averages 10 points more than Jared, 10 and a half points more on a weekly basis. And I'm excited to see Teddy go back to New Orleans. I think that'll be interesting. He might be fired up. He's going to be back in town kind of thing. I don't know how many fans are doing, but I'm sure it feels comfortable. You know, obviously they're in a dome setting, but I think that you could have a really big week because they're not looking wonderful. Like I said, I think the key is going to be Derrick Henry at Pittsburgh. No idea how that's rolling. But I mean, anytime you got your double dipping in the KC offense, I think you're looking pretty solid. So yeah, I'm rolling with him. I think Jared's just got too many question marks. We kind of talked about it all already. I think it's a solid team. Like when I look at it, I'm like, oh, that lineup stinks. But he's got some guys that are getting hot. I just don't think they're reliable enough to count on a win.
Yeah, really good points, Duncan. Sorry, Rick, go ahead.
Thank you. It's the vitamins.
I was just going to say, I agree. I'm going with Pip here. But I think it will be close. Basically everybody in Pip's lineup, Henry to Montgomery, are extremely solid, strong plays. It's going to take a lot for Jared to kind of keep up with it. I think Stafford can have a big game against Atlanta, but I just feel like both of those teams are like the Lions are basically Patricia is going to be playing for his job. And I feel like he might be like, let's just run the ball and kill the clock and make it so that Atlanta has the ball less. And my bad defense is out on the field less. And maybe that'll help me out a little bit getting a win. Could also turn into a shootout. Who knows? But I think Pip's just the solidness and the floors on all of his players are a lot higher than on Jared's. But I think it might be a tight one. Either maybe I'm wrong about the floors being too high, or Jared has one of the weeks where he scores 170 again.
Yeah.
I think it will be close, but I'm going to go with Pip.
This one was the most difficult for me to pick when I was doing my notes. I'm going to go out on a limb and go with Jared. I think he's got good matchups this week. I like his flexes a lot. Pip's flexes not as much this week. I worry a little bit about Clyde. What's he, you know, how's things going to change? Probably not a whole lot, like I said earlier, but it's still possible. Teddy Bridgewater at QB is kind of up and down. I don't know how I feel about him as a quarterback. And, you know, he's got Hooper in there who I just don't trust any Browns guys right now, which we'll get to later. When we talk about my team, I can't wait. But I'm going to say Jared has a boom week, and I'm going with Jared.
Oh, shit.
All right. That's the first half of the pod done. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back with three more matchups and some segments.
My anxiety.
Welcome back to part two of the podcast. Rick here with Tim and Duncan. We will begin with myself, Colin Kaepernick. Rick, I am 3-3 versus Leopard Fournette Fronick, who is 5-1. I am just 3-6 versus Fronick all time. Fronick continued his hot streak to start the season. He is in first place, thanks to in large part having one of the receivers who caught one of the 9 passes Kyler Murray threw on Monday. Christian Kirk averaged a career-high 43 yards per reception. Meanwhile, for the first time since 2016, and the first time since we've had the Smelly Butt Team of the Week sounder, I am the Smelly Butt Team of the Week. Woo!
Smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt. Smelly butt.
Smelly butt.
Smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt.
That's one smelly butt.
Congrats, Rick.
I scored 65 points. Philip Lindsay was the only person who scored more than 10. Zink fumbled twice. Aaron Rodgers scored a rushing touchdown that was not a rushing touchdown, then ended with 3. I go back-to-back weeks with a 0 in my lineup thanks to N'Keal Harry. AJ Green had 13 points on my bench. It was an absolute miserable week for me. This week is the right to be called by their name bowl. Fronick is without Jonathan Taylor on bye. Scam Newton is facing a broken 49er secondary. That means maybe he can throw the ball downfield. And I am just without the Ravens defense, but I am able to mix in Juju Smith-Schuster, who is now, as well as I'm freed from watching the hell of the Buffalo Williamses. Tim, you were able to hold Fronick to just 93 points in week 3. You nearly pulled off the upset. What tips do you have for me to possibly take down Fronick? As our Medford Bowl insider, how do I beat Fronick?
Boy, I don't know if I'm the right person to ask for advice on how to beat people, but I will say this is a big matchup. I mean, Fronick's got an incredible team. It's annoying because he was so cocky about it at the beginning of the season, calling himself the second place team, and he's currently tied for first. So congrats, Fronick. You were correct on one of your predictions so far. We'll see what happens. I think this is just like the battle of the receivers matchup. It's just like both your flexes are two receivers. And receivers that a lot of people would have in their starting three receivers. Christian Kirk, he had like that one humongous 80-yard touchdown catch that really jacked up his scoring. He did another touchdown, but I just don't see that being a common thing. So I would say He's probably the worst of the 10. But yeah, I feel like this is a crazy receiver matchup. And both of you, your RB2 is very iffy as well. With him having Justin Jackson and you having Phillip Lindsay. Phillip Lindsay is very dependent on kind of what they're doing with Melvin Gordon. And Justin Jackson still may be splitting time with Kelly. Don't really know how that's going to go. I feel like that could possibly be a game-by-game kind of deal with which one of them has more fantasy points. So I don't know what you need to do to beat Phronik Rick, but the past 5 teams have not been successful. So, I don't know. What do you think, Duncan?
Yeah, I mean, all my keys to the game would just be him having people not do well. So it's a terrible answer. But, I mean,
I love that answer. I love that. That's very good content.
But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't – sorry, it sounded like I was getting emotional. I got a chip stuck in my throat. I just don't know
it's,
what you can do.
I was slightly wondering what's going on over there.
Phronik's team has brought you to tears. He's too good. You're too emotional.
There's just nothing you can do. AJ Green, who knows what will happen there. It's just a mess.
Chip's gone now, right?
Yep. To stay on brand. Alvin and the Chipmunks. But I had a... I'm glad you enjoyed that one. I'm interested to see how I regret... Well, I don't know if I should say regret. I desperately needed to bring in some running backs with Mostert hurt again and... potentially having an actual real RB2 at the moment. I don't know if I'm going to change my mind or not. But A.J. Brown looked real good. And so giving him up, I'm like, you know, I'm hoping I don't get buyer's remorse here. But especially with Corey Davis out, it's very tough to see. But I'm hoping I get an RB2 out of McKinnon. Anyways, this isn't supposed to be about me. But I think that... Yeah, he's looking real good.
How frustrating is it having AJ Green? I mean, he has been so bad. And then, of course, you finally bench him. I don't think it would have given you the win last week if you started him. But obviously, he's such a weird player this year to know if you should play him or not.
Well, and he was going up against Indy, and they have, you know, one of the best defenses. And all of a sudden, Cincinnati jumps out to a 21-0 lead. And like AJ wasn't super involved in the offense. And I was just kind of waiting for, I thought, okay, he's gotten a couple catches here and there. Like it, you know, he was bound to improve from zero. And then all of a sudden he's just in the blink of an eye got 13. And then I'm watching the afternoon games and N'Keal Harry like has 2 targets on the day. So that was, I mean, last week pains were just awful. But I think like my team has to be better. Like you really don't get much worse than 65 points, especially in a 2 flex league. And especially now with the guys that I have that are available, I think Lindsay is likely to be second fiddle to Gordon, but he did rush for 101 yards last week. Wasn't targeted in the passing game, but they were still using him as just a first and second down back. Like it was a lot of Royce Freeman on third down getting, you know, a couple targets here and there in the passing game. So I'm thinking Lindsay will be used in that role, probably used better. I am worried that he gets completely shut out in an afternoon game, and I probably should have started McKissick, but I don't want to start McKissick without knowing if Gordon is going to play or not. And I'm very confused, and I'm not happy that those two games are happening in different time slot windows. But yeah. I think I've got a really solid team. Phronik having 3 wide receiver ones for his 3 wide receivers is pretty insane. I'm not at all worried about Christian Kirk. T. Higgins maybe scares me because he'll get a red zone target or something like that and, you know, probably scores a touchdown against me because that seems to be how my team goes every week. But, like, Aaron Rodgers is – the revenge tour that Aaron Rodgers is going to be on to beat the ever-living hell out of the Texans this week is going to be so fun to watch.
He's going to rip them up.
The worst timing for me to have this happen is with Davante Adams going up against me on Fronik's team, because that's probably likely one or two touchdowns going his way, and I don't really want that to happen. So if, you know, Rodgers, if he throws for 500 yards and six touchdowns, and maybe, you know, at that point only one of them goes to Devontae, that'd be fine. But I think I like my team. I'm just worried about Fronik's wide receivers, because they all have really good matchups, save A.J. Brown, because the Steelers' defense is really good.
So good.
So that's
– it's going to be that
– that's kind of
– they unlock play action, though, with Derrick Henry.
Right. That's kind of the thing, is they all have – really high floors. They're projected a ton of points. I'm just kind of hoping that, you know, Allen Robin and Brown running into some tough defenses have some bad weeks, and maybe that's the thing that saves me. But I'm going to need Zeke to be not a fumble monster. I'm going to need Lindsey to, you know, PPR him to death or something like that. And then I'm going to need Juju to be more like the Juju everybody expected him to be through this point in the season.
Are you obligated to play AJ Green, though, so that we can see which is the better AJ, the new or the old, AJ Brown versus AJ Green?
Wow.
Feels like that's the rules.
That's a very good point. I do think, because Fronik has Hollywood Brown and Antonio Brown, and I think they're cousins, I think he needs to play both of them.
Also true.
Unfortunately, Hollywood's on bye and Antonio isn't on the
team. Still have to play him.
So those will be 2-0s. But at the same time, I'll be playing AJ Green. So, you know, I think the battle of AJs versus the battle of the Browns, I think would be a very fun matchup to see. I think Fronik's going to have to do that.
And it'd be the battle of the colors. The Browns and the Greens.
Oh my gosh. Where are you coming up with this stuff, dude?
Vitamins.
Vitamins, man. Tim, what do you think about, I think you talked about Fronik's team, but what do you think about my team, my chances this week? Let's make it about me here.
Let's make it about you. I'm going to be honest with you, Rick. I don't understand the trade that you did. I don't know why you're trading for more receivers when I feel like your running back two position was already your weakness, and you don't really have any backups. Obviously, you'll have Zeke's one bye week eventually, which I don't know how your team's going to look that week. But I guess –
digging the woodshed.
If I were you, Rick, I would be looking for a trade for a running back, because you have so much depth. Maybe this is part of another trade that you've got in the works later on. I guess I just don't know what your thinking was there. I'm going with Fronik. I think he's got, like you said, he's got higher floors than you have all just from top to bottom. I do think Aaron Rodgers goes off this week. But like you said, he's got Devontae, which – is going to probably be a decent chunk of those points, especially since Devontae didn't really do much that first game back last week. I worry a little bit about, you know, Lockett's been a little bit down. I don't know what – I think maybe that's just because Metcalf is just bawling out like a motherfucker. And, Duncan, you probably know more about this than I do.
Please don't swear, Tim.
Okay, sorry. You told me that last year.
Every time.
I'm done with the pod. I literally like looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, wow, I really screwed that up. Like, I feel pretty bad. And then I was listening to the pod and I was like, Rick said the F word like five times before.
I think you're the only person. I think I get you like once or twice. I do that to you when you come on. I'm like, Tim, please don't swear, because I think you're the one who's been on the radio with me and you know not to swear into a hot open mic. And I think that's just like in the back of your mind, you're like, ah, shit, I fucked that one up.
Yeah, like, you can't say shit, I fucked that one up. Yeah.
have either of you screwed up on a hot mic?
Rick and I were doing that one game where apparently we were being recorded, and I think we were doing Austin impressions.
Oh, that was pregame, and we were like talking to each other. And
there was a guy that looked just like Austin, who was like a ref or something. We're like, oh, look, it's Austin out there. And so we started doing a couple Austin bits, and then some random dude came up to Rick in the middle of your like open while we were actually live. And he was like bothering us. We're like, what the heck, dude? Like, we're trying to do the radio here. And he was some old guy, and he was like, you guys have been on the radio for 20 minutes or something like that. And we're just like, oh, shit. But yeah, I don't think we were like, We weren't like swearing or anything.
Those were two different times. So there was once at Marist, we were doing a game, and pregame, we were like making Austin jokes. And I think you had said like, oh, my, I think we were talking about fantasy and you're like, oh, my team's so shit, da, da, da. And the producer back in the studio was like, guys, like, you're not on the air, but please don't talk into, like, swear into a hot mic. You should assume you're always on the air. And we're like, okay, gotcha, sorry. And then I think, like, the next season, there was a time where we were put on the air by the producer, and we were just, you know, talking about the game over, I don't know, commercials, other programming, like, conversations between us was being put out on air. And finally, when we come on air, there's this guy who, like, beelines from the bottom of the bleachers.
Yeah.
At Churchill, and he beelines all the way up to us, and I'm like reading my super formal introduction that, you know, sounds kind of professional, like all of the professional things I write on the pod each week, and he walks right up to me, and he go, and like I toss it to Tim and I take my mic off, and he goes, do you guys know you've been on the air for like 20 minutes now? And I'm like, yeah, our show just started, like, we're on now. He's like, no, you've been on for like 20 minutes the whole time. And I was just like, oh my god, like, this is, that's embarrassing. I was like, I hope we didn't swear. Like, somebody.
Yeah, that was awkward. I was like, dude, just leave us alone, please.
I just, at least somebody was listening. The problem was, is he was the person listening driving to the game, and then he wasn't listening once the game had started because he was at the game. So our listenership was one, and then it very quickly turned to zero.
He was like, hey guys, yeah, I know you got cool. A whole night to call ahead of you, but would you like me to make a comment that makes you uncomfortable the rest of the night?
Yes. Oh yeah. For like years, that's all I thought about, was just like, oh, everything I say could possibly be on air. This is super not fun. Ugh.
That was bad.
Yeah. Anyways, so I have not also sworn into a hot mic before. I've been when I worked with Steve said fuck one time. Which was very awkward.
I know he's known to be a foul-mouthed kind of guy off air, isn't he?
Off air, yes, but he's really good in front of a mic, except for one time he quoted, what's it called?
50 Cent.
No. It's the Tarantino movie with Samuel Jackson and...
Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, but he quoted Pulp Fiction, and it was something about Tom Brady, and he was supposed to say, I hope those are some great nuts. And he said, I hope those are some great fucking nuts. And he stopped, and he said that he saw a look of terror in Alex's eyes, he saw a look of terror in my eyes, and he immediately was just like, and that's what are you doing? We're going to go to commercial. And we went to commercial like 3 minutes early, because he's like, the only thing we have to do is like just completely push on from this. He immediately walked down to a hall, he told our boss, he said, hey, I said fuck on the radio, and they apparently laughed and said, okay, well, you know, let's hope nobody like alerts the FCC about this, and nobody did, and he was fine.
Oh, I was going to say, what did that fine look like?
Oh, nothing. There's nobody listening to Eugene Radio. there's nobody listening to this podcast. It's based out of Eugene. It's the listenership is zero. Anyways, Duncan, who wins the matchup between Fronik and I?
I'm going to be rolling with you, actually, this week. I think the Rodgers and Elliott revenge tours alone could put you at like 60, 70 points, which would, you know, almost beat your team from last week. So
yeah,
I feel pretty good about that. I also think that Tyler Lockett actually could pop this week. I think especially with the way that we've been using DK, the way that, Buda Baker's been playing at safety. I wouldn't be surprised if they had to top off and lean towards try to take DK out of the equation. But as a result, I think that Lockett's going to get more targets. They're going to do the classic rollout. DK's going to be going down the right side. Buda's going to follow. And then they're going to have Lockett do his like over and around thing on play action. So I think this is the week that's going to bring that back. So yeah, I'm rolling with you. And I think that Juju plays a key piece, hopefully. Against a really tough Tennessee defense.
Yeah, I've got me as well. The Rodgers Zeke revenge tour is going to be huge. I also think Lockett, Lamb, and Godwin all score a touchdown or get at least 100 yards. And Juju, I think he's, I'm going to really put myself out there, throws, catches, and rushes for a touchdown, and I'm going to beat Fronik 275 to 98.
Wow.
Wow.
That was disrespectful.
It's disrespectful, and it's also a prediction that I'm sure will not bite me in the ass at all. Next matchup, Alvin and the Chipmunks. Duncan, that is you. You are 4-2. Classic. You're taking on Toad Squirrely, who that's Scott, who is 5-1. Duncan, you are 6-4 all time against Scooter Magooter. Duncan, you were missing two of your best players last week, a season low in points at 69, also ran into the highest scoring team of the week, so kind of a double blow there. On the other end is Scott the Snake Fitzgerald, boosted from a win thanks to just 9 completions from Kyler Murray, a quarterback, a pair of garbage time touchdowns from Justin Jefferson as well, putting him in first place, which is officially peak 2020. Scott is once again without Dalvin Cook, who is just on a bye, same with Justin Jefferson. But it's Duncan, you're going to be looking back to get the top spot, maintaining your spot actually as the highest scoring team in the league. You're getting a huge boost with some guys returning to your team, maybe some fortunate times as well of catching some teams on byes. How are you feeling going into this top of the table clash?
I feel good about it. I think right now I'm projected to win by like 25 points or something like that. So as long as my folks show up, I'm feeling pretty good. That said, every single week this year, I've had at least one player get 0 points or less.
Ah.
So,
or less. Wow.
Or less. Yeah. So yeah, let's break that down. Week 2, Chiefs, -1. And week 5, Eagles D, -1. Week 6, Titans D, -4.
Ooh.
So all I'm saying, bring back the goddamn kickers. And now I know I defended defenses last year, but fuck them. They're terrible. They stink and they don't add anything to the league. But
yeah, I'm hoping we break you that should down. Down the stretch start every defense that's on a bye, because you've had such bad luck that you're like, you know what? Starting a defense that I know is giving me 0 is a great starting point.
You know what? I thought about that, and I thought about doing it as a joke last week because I'd been getting 0 from someone every week, and I thought, you know what? I don't feel great about the Titans matchup, but the waiver wire, there was nobody I wanted to pull, which was obviously wrong. And who would have thought that I would have had over 70 points had I not gotten a defense? But, yeah, so I feel pretty good this week, though. Getting Kamara back, McKinnon. I'm a little worried that Mostert hasn't been put on IR. They said that he was going to, and one of their linemen they also said was going on IR. He actually is on IR, so I'm wondering why Mostert hasn't yet. So it makes me a little bit nervous. But the fact that I got Kamara back alone makes me pretty happy. I feel good. I think the way Cam was dumping off to James White, I made the wrong call last week with Damian Harris, but I think that's going to continue. They really weren't pushing it down the field. So as far as the first week, I feel good about all my running backs outside of week 1. I think, you know, Calvin Ridley going up against Detroit, DK with Arizona, he's just been on fire this year. So I'm feeling really good. And Robbie Anderson with New Orleans. Even though I don't think that Breeze is going to throw it further than 6 feet, I do think they still could put up a lot of points, and I'm hoping for it, actually, obviously, because of Kamara. The one thing I'm nervous about is Jonnu Smith. It's 2 weeks now that I've had players, or him in particular, leave a game early for this ankle. So, that said, I'm feeling really good. Sorry, I just ate up that time. But what are you guys thinking for the matchup? I'm taking myself this week. I feel good and ready to take down Sleepy Scott, who's been hacking our system and taking points away from Tim just so he doesn't have to get tattoos.
Yeah, Scott the point stealer. I mean, that's just an incredible turn of events to avoid going 4-2. So it would have been a true 4-2, 4-2 battle for the bye. Would have been a great matchup. And said Scott has to go and find some hacker to change his scoring on it, which we'll look into. I think like your team.
Lock him up.
Your team is so good when you get Kamara and Metcalf playing at the same time. In the 1 week that it happened that they weren't playing at the same time, they're finally back now. So that's absolutely a huge boost. And I think the other thing is like Calvin Ridley is so fun to watch, not just because I'm a Falcons fan, but it's also hilarious that defenses forget to cover him.
Yeah,
because I think there are times like when you're watching Red Zone or whatever, and they show, or you're watching, you know, Ridley highlights, like he catches the ball and he's got like defenses are like socially distanced away from him, like 5-10 yards away, because he's like just throwing the right cuts at the right time and just has like ankles made of steel where he can just plant and go. He's just an incredible receiver.
He rubbed Rona all over his pads. So that's why they don't give him space. They won't play bump coverage on him, because if they touch him, they get the coronavirus. He's immune because they're scared of speed. Yes, Rona's scared of wide receivers who can run like 4.3, but the more you know.
Calvin Regeneron Ridley. That's what everybody's been calling him. Yeah. Tim, what do you think of this matchup here? I know you've probably restarted or started a rivalry with Scott now after what happened last week. I know you don't want to say Scott did this, but let's just assume Scott did this.
Sleepy Scott, the hacker.
I promised myself I wouldn't blame Scott for this. So
vote him. Do it.
I'll start with you, Duncan. Just the quick points that I wrote down were McKinnon back to RB1 at San Francisco for a couple of weeks at least. It's great. Ridley, Metcalf, Anderson are scary, scary good. Your flexes are a little questionable, but that's most teams. And Mahomes and Kamara can carry you in any matchup. So I think, you know, top to bottom, especially this week, your team is very, very strong. In terms of Scott, he gets Jacobs back, which is good, but no Dalvin and no Jefferson. His receivers are all kind of, I wrote down, capable, but also just not, they don't jump out of the paper at you. You know, like Emmanuel Sanders, he's had a good last couple weeks, but Mike Thomas coming back. Ruggs had good numbers, but he had like an 8-yard touchdown catch, and he only had 2 catches the whole game. Julian Edelman hasn't done anything this year, and Ayuk is definitely taking a backseat to Debo and Kittle. So I like Duncan's team going forward better. I like your team this week better, and this is not out of spite, I promise, but I am definitely picking you to win. Yeah, I'm definitely picking you to win this matchup, and I predict you to win it without having to steal points from Scott.
Yes, Scott, he said he has no spite, but in the chat he put, "I will kill him."
Wow, he commented, "Scott is the devil. He is the worst human being I know." This is very interesting. Tim, his chat self and his pod self are two different people. I'm also going with you, Duncan, in this one. I think it'll maybe be a little bit closer, but your team is basically back to full strength. If Jonnu Smith can play, I think that adds an extra layer of boosting for you. My only thing is I've tweeted this before and then done the self-retweet as well. Do any of you, when you hear Brandon Ayuk's name called out, do you hear the goofy laugh in the back of your head? Ayuk? Brandon Ayuk? Every single time. It's the only thing I can think about. Is Brandon Ayuk, and it's Goofy who's calling the game. It's the only thing I can hear.
That's all I'm going to hear.
I was going to say, yeah, that'll be a new thing in my head. It wasn't originally, but I'll certainly think of it now.
That is the funniest shit I have heard in a long time.
It's not just the vitamins, though, right?
70-30.
I need to invest in some vitamins, apparently.
Yeah, dude. Great for podcasting.
This leads us to our last matchup of the week. Barkevious Flamingo, Tim, you are 1-5. You're taking on Tuna Viloa. Brandon, who is 4-2. Tim, you do have a winning record against Brandon. You are 5-3 all time. Brandon pulled off a pretty surprising upset last week, getting a win over Pip. Julio Jones, my large adult son, had 2 touchdowns. Brandon Cooks had a solid week as well. Had enough of a lead going into Monday night that he wasn't even scared that the hair would catch him. Tim, we've talked about it. I don't even know what to say. You had a big lead going into Monday, and everything seemed to go wrong. Mecole Hardman with a 0. It turns into a Plax without going for Gage or Gronk or even Matt Ryan over Tannehill, which also would have been enough for a win. Or just ESPN, and I guess I say ESPN, but Scott not stealing 2 points away from you.
Son of a bitch.
It's horrible. Brandon is without Lama Jackson this week, who turns to Kyle Allen of the Washington team of footballers. And Tim, you are basically at full strength looking to get a much needed win. How are you feeling about your bounce back potential in week 7?
Here goes. I'm going to pull out my inner Scott here. Tim's team's dead. It is dead. Season is crushed. I don't think I'm able to bounce back from that. Not in terms of like I'm screwed for stand-up, because there's still so much that can happen for that. And really, regardless of what seed you are when it comes to either 7th or 12th, you know, all I got to win is possibly, you know, that second matchup or whatever in terms of where the standings are. So I'm not just going to be like, I'm not like I'm have to do stand up. I think it's very possible. But yeah, Tim's team is dead. I feel like this week, Lev Bell maybe gets me 5 points because he's just getting implemented into the system. Odell Beckham needs a new team slash quarterback. Hayden Hurst is good and then bad and then good and then bad, as is the entire passing offense. I have no faith in Josh Kelly. I have no faith in Gronk being able to do what he did last week. There's really – and most are hurt again, so that's awesome as well. So, yes, that is my take on my team.
I think the most certain news is the one that hurts the most, because your team's got some pretty solid to okay matchups. Like, they're not – obviously, you're going up against a whole bunch of, like, worst teams in the league, but – you know, you've got like Tyler Boyd gets a good share of the ball. Will Fuller gets a good share of the ball in that offense. Odell Beckham is should be a number one wide receiver, has his ups and downs. And I have no idea what to think of Odell, but like you've got a lot of options that like really should be working out in regular circumstances that just haven't. I think your decision to move Bell to your flex instead of Kelly, I think is a smart one. Just because the idea of Le'Veon having to be like your RB2 essentially, when you have no idea how he's going to be used in that offense, would just be way too risky. But I definitely think you're right in that you don't have to worry about stand up. But it's a matter of, can you, you know, get a win against Brandon that will give you a boost in points, a boost in the standings, so that you're not stuck in, you know, the number 12 spot essentially going into, you know, the constipation bracket. It's a long road up. It's so weird that your team has been extremely underperforming, but then I look at the names on paper and I think this team shouldn't really be this bad.
It's been so disheartening this year, and I'm not trying to make people feel bad for me, but it's like my week one loss to you was to 8 points. My loss to Fronik was by 3 points. Then my loss to Luke by less than a point. And then of course what happened last week, it's like, what do I have to do? I've been making moves. I've been trying so hard to make my team better and competitive. And a lot of people, I don't know how you guys feel, but a lot of people thought my trades helped me a little bit at least, that I made. And it's just like the Mostert trade's not working out because he's not able to play. The other trade hasn't, I mean, Will Fuller's been great in that trade, but Kelly put up an absolute dud, which lost me the matchup to Luke. As soon as I've gotten Odell Beckham, he's been terrible. So I just don't know, man. I just don't know what to do at this point other than just set my lineup as best I can and hope that maybe I can pull out a couple wins. I was the 11th seed last year, so I was in that like really terrible gutter spot last year, and I was able to obviously avoid the toilet bowl even because I was able to beat Jared that second week of constipation bracket. So I'm not even thinking about that right now. I'm just like, you know, what do I got to do to at least just get some wins on the board? I don't want to be the second 2-11 team ever or the first ever 1-12 team, and I don't think that's going to happen, but it's just every week. It's just like, how much more of this can I take? Like, it's just every loss so devastating. My team's not performing. The highest week I've had this season was 130 something, and that was the week Jared's put what 170. So it's just not my year, man. It's just not my year. Things just aren't going my way. I don't know what else to say about it at this point.
I actually like your matchups for this week, though. I mean, I think going off what you said, as far as just relying on setting the lineup the best you can each week, I actually like what you've got going on for this week, at least. I think Matt, I mean, we saw what Matt Ryan did too. I mean, a trash defense, but I think he's going to have a good week against Detroit. And Kareem Hunt went off against Cincy, so you've got some repeat matchups, and Odell. So you might have what he did in the first week, but Odell, I think, is going to get more involved. So as far as evening things up at 2-5 with Brandon,
think you got a good chance at least. Also, Melvin Gordon's confusing because I'm trying to figure out, is there just so much news going on, semi-tangent, that this could just blow over and he doesn't get – like, I feel like I haven't heard about Melvin Gordon at all since the DUI initially.
Yeah, the last I saw was that the team was choosing not to punish him, but that the NFL still had the ability to. So, and the NFL is so unpredictable. So it sounds like the actual like team, the Broncos, are not going to suspend. They're not going to punish him by any means, but the NFL could still do something. I don't know.
Denver, I feel like endorses Brandon drunk driving.
Probably really in on his Broncos. So maybe he has more information than I do about that.
I just did a Google search, and apparently the NFL does have a suspension policy for DUIs, which is 2 to 3 games. Now, he's missed one game because of strep throat, which maybe he has been, you know, macking with a bunch of ladies in the greater Denver area. Maybe he hasn't and somehow just caught strep throat, and that's why he missed a game. For those of you who aren't in the Zoom chat with me right now, I'm saying strep throat with quotes because I'm thinking that's the team's way of just punishing Melvin Gordon by having him not play and make up an illness that has very similar symptoms of COVID that isn't COVID that he just happens to miss a game for. And I think probably a fine coming his way rather than a suspension. It just seems like at this point, nothing's going to come of it, which kind of seems both lucky and very like strange that maybe the NFL like doesn't want to again put the attention on a player having a DUI when they've had to move multiple games around because of COVID, you know, procedures and teams failing to follow along. So I think Brandon will be okay in the long run, but yeah, it is a little strange that the NFL wasn't like, oh, he got a DUI. Okay. It's a 2-game suspension or something like
yeah.
that. The news of his suspension not coming.
Balls.
Yeah. The news of his suspension not coming as quick as it did, I think is very surprising that basically Gordon missed the game and he's just pretty much done.
Yeah. See how that goes.
Also, who gets like strep throat, or I guess not, was it strep throat or was it mono that he got? I think it was strep throat, right?
Strep throat, I think.
Okay.
Because mono, you'd be out for like a month or two.
It's true. I did confuse mono with strep throat, so that's my bad. I apologize, Melvin Gordon.
Rona's afraid of both, though, so it'll be good in the long run. Nothing needs to get shut down. Rona's afraid of mono because it takes it out for a while. Then nobody could have Rona for a month and a half, 2 months. Strep throat, similar symptoms. So they're like competing, you know, they're competitors for our bodies. Denver won't get shut down.
Duncan, did you give your takes on these teams? I think you stopped at Melvin Gordon, right? Do we feel like we've analyzed both of these teams enough here? I think like both of these teams, for some reason, I keep thinking, and I don't know if it's because I keep trying to stand by my prediction that Brandon would make a run for one of the byes, because I thought his 4 running backs would be really good, and also he has Julio Jones, but I just think his team can be so much better, and I don't know if I'm just trying to be positive with Tim's team in a bleak situation to make him not feel bad, but I also think your team can be very a lot better than it is as well. And you've also just had probably some of the worst luck we've ever seen in league history through just even 6 weeks.
It is what it is. You know, I love my conspiracies. So some higher power out there does not like me and doesn't want me to be good in this league. And it sucks because this is the league I care about the most of all my leagues. I don't.
You're in other leagues, Tim?
Would your luck change if you started sleeping on a craps table?
Well, I guess there's only one way to find out. I guess I need to find a craps table to sleep on, see if that changes my fortunes for week 7.
Got
to
do it.
Whatever I'm doing now is not working.
Duncan, what's your pick for this week? For this,
I actually really like Tim's receiver core for this week. So I'm rolling with Tim. I think Kareem Hunt You have a great game against Cincinnati. I'm excited to actually watch that one, which feels weird. I'm saying that I'm going to enjoy a Cincinnati versus or an Ohio versus Ohio game. But yeah, I think that Kareem Hunt, Fuller, Odell are all going to have great games. And I'm interested to see what Le'Veon does. But yeah, we're rolling with Tim. Oh, and Matt Ryan, I think, has a great matchup as well. So shootout with Detroit. So I'm going with Tim.
I originally wrote down Brandon because I thought his wife. Hi, friends. I wrote down that I wanted to go
is
with
he
Brandon.
Is he the only person to get a cheer this week? Brandon's team being announced is the only person to have a, like a, hey, yeah, Brandon. Shit. I have to amend my answer. Brandon, man, Brandon's going
to
win.
I guess that means I have to stick with my prediction that I wanted to go with Brandon. But I just looked at his team with Kyle Allen. I know Dallas's defense is not very good, but going with Kyle Allen and Logan Thomas, I don't think it's going to pay off. I don't think it's really going to work. So Tim, I'm going to change my mind as I catch a burrito that Bree just threw to me.
Oh, shit. I want a burrito.
What? Oh, there's a hot sauce and an overhand. Ayo. Caught them all. I'm going to go with Tim. Tim, I'm going with you in this matchup. What do you think?
Bye.
Hi.
Hello.
Everybody's coming on the pod now.
What's everybody's up? There.
This is Brandon's cheerleading squad.
This was great audio content.
I'm already loving the vibes that are going towards Brandon already.
Yo,
things
that's
are
bad vibes, though. This is,
this was is bad vibes, though. You know what?
No. Hey, hold up.
I'm not going to cut that out of the pod, but we're starting over. Duncan, who's your pick in this week's matchup?
We already went there. I'm picking Tim. What I'm going to say is this is bad news for Brandon because while the cheer squad came in and all this stuff, they started cheering, and I saw a bottle of alcohol, Melvin Gordon, DUI issues. Brandon's sitting there also in Denver. They come in cheer and waving alcohol around. Not good news.
No way Brandon. To celebrate DUIs and the people who are alcoholics and struggle with alcohol abuse. That is extremely wrong and inappropriate. Brandon should not be starting Melvin Gordon, who is an alcoholic. That is factually proven that only alcoholics get DUIs. I think I can say that because it's factually proven that Melvin Gordon has a DUI. And that is wrong. And I cannot root for Brandon's team because he has a player who is a criminal on it. And I will instead root for Tim's team, who has a really good person like Kareem Hunt on his team in the starting lineup.
You don't see him getting DUIs out there.
No, of course not.
Oh gosh, I guess I'll make my prediction.
He kicks people who get DUIs to the curb.
Exactly. yeah. But yeah, what I was gonna say is it seems only fair that Brandon endorsing DUI costs a touchdown and 40 yards. So 10 points at the come midnight Monday night. It seems only fair that Tim's opponent, who endorses DUIs, loses points as we switch over to Tuesday morning and wakes up to an L. So if we're doing odds, we're taking Tim at -9.5, -9.5.
Tim, wow. what do you got?
I don't trust Love Bell. I don't trust Odell Beckham. I don't trust Josh Kelly. And I don't trust Rob Gronkowski. I'm going Brandon.
Oh, Tim, no.
I think he just forfeited his 10-point handicap because now he also just endorsed.
You guys can scoff at me. You know what? It's fine. You guys don't like me picking against myself. Fine, and I'm a big proponent of picking yourself always. But this year is not like any other year, so I'm going different. I literally wake up to losses that weren't losses when you went to sleep. So I'm not picking myself.
You know what? I was trying to back you, but now that's now four people that somehow endorsed DUIs from Melvin Gordon. Tim crossed the aisle to go endorse his opponent who's sitting here starting drunk drivers. So
I think I'm just shocked that Tim, you've actually kind of like 2020 and fantasy has beaten you to a point where you can't even hype yourself up to pick your own team in a matchup. I just, that actually, like, that shocks me, because I think you are the one person who more often than not picks themselves to win every single, you are the opposite of me. I constantly pick myself. No, I'm losing. I'm pessimistic Rick. And then you're out here and you're super positive Tim. And I feel so bad that you feel broken. And I it's not the happy go lucky loving Tim that I think we all know and love.
Well, I'm glad you all love the happy go lucky Tim. It's good to know. I don't hear that enough from anybody. No, I'm just kidding. it's just one of those years, man. It sucks. But that being said, my Lakers won the championship, so that's awesome.
Hey,
and Dodgers won. Well, their Dodgers are losing currently, but they should win this World Series. But I won't get into that. So there could be some nice things for me. But yeah, it's just the way this year's gone. It's hard to be positive, and I'm trying. I really am trying. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not just like, oh, when I go on this pod, I'm gonna be such a sourpuss and make everyone feel bad for me. That was not my intention. I do have ranting to do, and I've done most of it already. I am angry. I'm definitely angry, but at the same time, it's like, oh well, it's a game. It's fantasy. There's always next year.
It's always next week. All right, so we've done that. Let's get to segments. I think there's only one, and it's the one that I have. It's a Yeah, Dude. Duncan?
I got one, too.
You have a segment as well?
It was on the spot, but
okay.
I'll go after you.
All right. I have a Yeah, Dude.
Yeah,
This one goes out to the NFL. They're dumb, horrible, rotten, no good rules about quarterbacks that give themselves up. This is what happened with Aaron Rodgers against the Buccaneers. When he scored a rushing touchdown, he broke away, running into the end zone, gets near the goal line, dives headfirst towards the end zone, trying to extend the play. And because a knee is kind of down half a foot away before the ball crosses the line, he's down. I think it's the dumbest rule because it's the opposite of what a quarterback is trying to do in that situation, which is give himself up. The last thing, like, I understand if, you know, a player is, you know, trips and falls and hits and dives forward, maybe, okay, he's giving himself up. Or if they slide feet first, sure, then you're very clearly giving yourself up.
Yeah, dude.
Context to these fucking rules.
Yeah.
If a guy is diving toward, like, it's the same thing that happened with the Dez Bryant catch, no catch in the playoff game against Green Bay. He's making a football move by extending the ball out towards the pylon to try and score. He's trying to extend the play. Aaron Rodgers is trying to score a touchdown. That's why he's diving towards the goal line. He's not saying, no, I don't want to be hit. Oh, I want to be down at the 1 yard line for a third and goal. That's some fucking bullshit.
Yeah, like, dude.
There needs to be some context to these rules that, like, maybe inside of 1 yard, which is not a big deal at all at either end of the field, maybe these rules don't apply. So I fucking hate this rule. I think it's dumb. It also ruined the rest of my Sunday because Aaron Rodgers turned to shit after that. And maybe now Fronik will also be right about Aaron Rodgers not being a good fantasy quarterback. And it's just, I hate it. So that's my Yeah, Dude. The NFL rules fucking suck.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, definitely a weird rule. And I remember that play. So yeah, that's definitely, that was really weird.
Like, they kept showing the replay, and they kept showing, like, the knee being down. I'm like, he wasn't touched. Like, nobody got near him. And even after the knee went down, like, two frames later, the ball was across the goal line. Like, this is a touchdown, and they just take it away. And he did the three pump.
It would make more sense if he was sliding, obviously.
Right.
Like, if he slid into the end zone, then, yeah, no, you started sliding at the 2 yard line or whatever. But, yeah, to literally be – I mean, he's a running back at that point. He's running with the ball. He dives into the end zone. Any other player would be a touchdown, but just because he's got quarterback listed on the roster, then yeah, that is a stupid rule. I'm 100% with
you. And with the feet first slide, you rule a guy down when he starts the feet first slide. So it's not like he gets like way when his butt hits the ground or when he stops sliding. It's like, oh, he started the slide here. This is where he's down because he gave himself up. With Rodgers, he starts his dive forward at like the 3 yard line, and his knee doesn't hit the ground until it's inside the one. So if you want to rule it the same, then push it back to the 3 yard line because that's when he gave himself up. But instead, they're just like, no, he fell forward, so he's down and he was untouched and he wasn't touched until he's in the end zone, so it's not a touchdown. It's some bullshit.
100% agree, Rick.
Duncan, what was your second?
That was some trash. It was a net new one, but just pulling up my roster here, like I mentioned earlier, I've had one player get at least zero or less.
every week. So my question was, or the segment is, which hero gets zero? So of each of our three lineups, who do you think would lay a goose egg? And so,
okay.
Like I have to pick, so like pick one for each team, or out of the three teams if I had to pick one guy?
Oh, I was saying for like each of our rosters. I guess we could do for each team if we wanted to. So if I were to look at mine, I'm really nervous. Jonnu Smith is mine. I think that a very good chance that he rolls an ankle or like sneezes too hard or something and they decide that he can't play the game and I get another zero. And if I go to my opponent, which would be Scott, I could absolutely see Emmanuel Sanders laying a goose egg just if everything gets distributed between Thomas, Kamara, and Cook. I could totally see that happening.
Yeah, for sure. Weird. If I had to pick a guy to go for zero on my roster, I would probably say Hayden Hurst. Of all the guys, he's probably got my toughest matchup aside from Lev Bell. Lev Bell could get a zero, but I feel like he's guaranteed to get some carries in his first game. Yeah. So unless they're all negative carries, which wouldn't be a zero, that'd be negative. So I would say, yeah, Hayden Hurst, my tight end, probably would be the most likely to not get a reception, which there's been a couple games this season where he's gotten one reception. So that's very possible.
For me, yeah. I think my hero to get zero might be Tyler Higbee. I think he's been very mediocre, and I think it could also come down to Allen Robinson versus Higbee in terms of who scores more, wins Froniker eyes matchup, and it's something like Robin gets, you know, two receptions for minus 5 yards or something, and Higbee just zero receptions, zero targets, 0 yards. So I think it's Higbee. He would be my hero to go zero. That is a great segment off the top of your head. That is fantastic.
Vitamins.
Nice. I have three Aaron Payne in my arses.
Wow, that's a lot of pain, bro.
Jeez, that guy is a real Aaron. Pain in my arse.
There's a lot of pain. First one goes to ESPN Fantasy Football.
Ow, that's a real Aaron. Pain in my arse.
Thank you for screwing me. That's all I'll say. I've already beat that dead horse.
My second
pain in the arse goes to Chiefs receivers.
Ow, that's a real Aaron. Pain in my arse.
Against Luke, I think it was Fronik, actually. I added DeMarcus Robinson, needed 3.5 points. He got me zero. And then as soon as Sammy Watkins goes out, I'm thinking, okay, well, Mecole Hardman's a good move, zero. And then DeMarcus Robinson goes for like 13. So that's a major pain. And my third pain in the arse goes to Baker Mayfield. You suck. You shouldn't even be in the NFL. That Browns team has so many weapons, and you are just holding them back. That's all I got.
Ow, that's a real Aaron. Pain in my arse.
Those are my three biggest pains right now.
That's fantastic. Yo, Tim.
Baker, watch out.
You know what? The pissed off Tim revenge tour is on. It is kicked off after 6 weeks after ESPN screwing him for no good reason. And with that, we say thank you for listening to the Semi Products podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Semi Products Pod. Subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Thank you so much, Duncan, Tim, for being on the pod for the first and second time this year. Best of luck to both of you in your matchups this week.
Cheers. Thanks, man. Good to see y'all.
Thanks, guys. Good to see you, Duncan. First time doing the pod together. Rick, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Y'all rich niggas. You know, so we ain't really never had no old money. We got a whole lot of new money, though. Hey! Raindrop. Drip. Drop top. Drop top. Smoking no cook in the hot pot. Cooking. Fucking on your bitch, yeah. Dot, dot, dot. Cooking up dope in the crock pot. Hot. We came from nothing to something, nigga. Hey! I don't try nobody with the trigger. Bite. Call up the gang and they come and get yanked. Grab me a river, give you a tissue. Bad and bullshit. Bad. Cook.
cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. My bitch is bad and bougie. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30s and 100 rounds too.
All set.
Records on records, get back, get some back, get some riding around in a coupe. I take your beat right from you.